Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another in the series of Read the Word.
Welcome.
The majestic Word of God. Brother Roger Oxley's already there welcoming everybody. He's the welcoming committee. He always has a big cup of coffee and a donut from the Cider Press. It's November.
He is a great host, isn't he?
Bless you, Roger. Welcome. And if you would like to be live with us like this, then I encourage you to like, subscribe, hit the bell. And if you're somebody that's up in the middle of the night when we record these, sometimes let us know and we'll send you a text. Hey, Nicole Olson.
Nicole.
Come on. Hi, Nicole.
It's so big.
Wow, that's awesome. Awesome. We got a crowd showing up here tonight.
Love it.
Amen. How's things in Minnesota? Now, tonight, we're going to have Brother Zacchaeus, Parable of the Minas, Jesus going into the triumphal entry. Remember, we learned last night that Jesus went into the triumphal entry. That wasn't all he did that day. He didn't go sit around the backyard, have a barbecue, you know, roast some lamb or something. Jesus got busy, man. He healed people. He rebuked the scribes, Pharisees, went in and cleaned out the temple. I mean, he was kicking it. But that's a day in the life of Jesus, and that's awesome. And you and I get to read the majestic word of God and see everything that's in it in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. Let's get started. Let's pray our opening prayer together. Hold your Bible up. Say this with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God's word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
He is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
I receive this word.
I receive this word.
Planted as a seed in my heart.
Planted as a seed in my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
My spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Here we go. Luke 18, and let's just go back to 24. We got a little extra time tonight. Ready? I know it doesn't say it there, but it'll be all right. 24. And when Jesus saw this, he became very sorrowful. And he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And when those who heard it said, well, then who can be saved? They were obviously not broke. But he said to them, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Peter said, see, we've left all and followed you. And Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you, everyone who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, he shall receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come, eternal life. Now, if you want to see what I just did, circle the word not in 30 and circle the word, surely I say to you, there's no one. Circle the word no one in 29 and draw a line between them. That's called a double negative. And it's just absolutely misplaced in these set of verses. There's no reason for it to be there. It's stumbled many people.
Yeah.
But don't worry about it. Just take the negative out and leave it right where how Jesus said it.
Yeah.
Everyone who gives up their life will receive a hundredfold return. 31, then he took the 12 and said, behold, we're going to Jerusalem, and all these things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit on. They will scourge him, and they will kill him, and the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. 35. Happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm not screaming as loud as what he was, I'm sure.
Sure.
He'd heard all about Jesus. This is the last time Jesus is going to walk by him. So whether he knew that or not, he knew, I got to get healed. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. When he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. He didn't pray a long prayer. He had God in him. Jesus said it. I don't do these works myself. It is the Father working through me. So the Father said, receive sight. Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. How did he express his faith? Jesus! That's how he expressed his faith. By crying out. And when they said to him, hey, Bart, be quiet. Just be quiet. I remember seeing Cynthia Brazelton. You don't know what I need. You got to get loud. Well, probably most times you got to get loud. Because God likes a passionate person that's out there going. Immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave great praise to God. Hallelujah. 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 Luke 19. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector. So he was not just one of them. He was a ruler. He was a leader of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was. But he could not because of the crowd. For he was of a short stature. Makes you wonder if he was standing in the temple when Jesus paid his temple tax with one chunk of gold. And they're like, where did you get that? Oh, we went fishing. I mean, you got to think the Bible through a little bit. Four. So he ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree. See him. For he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste, came down, received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who's a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house Because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The parable of the minas. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable. Well, you know, that's just a good idea. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. He said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them the 10 minas, and he said to them, do business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now, not sure about you, but I'm pretty sure that that sounded like rebellion. I mean, you know, I wasn't born in the night, and I wasn't born yesterday. That sounds like just straight up, flat out rebellion. And they don't own the place. Oh, y'all, we got to be careful with our attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I own America, so this is our nation, not the politicians. All right, here we go. 14, his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. 15, so it was when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Came the first, saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. He said to him, well done, good servant, because you are faithful in very little, have ruler, have authority over 10 cities. Remember, he said, do business till I come, which means I am expecting you to produce on what I gave you. So a whole lot of people have had business ideas in the kingdom and have never done a thing with it. When you get on the other side, you're going to be judged. Get your stuff together. Gave you the idea. It's probably because he wants you to do it so you can fund the kingdom.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of funding that needs to happen right now today.
Amen.
19. Likewise, he said, wait, and the second came saying, master, your mina has earned 5 minas. He said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came saying, master, here's your mina, which I kept put away in a handkerchief. Don't hide it. Don't hide it. Start. At least start moving. Write something in a notebook. For I feared you because you're an austere man. You collect what you did not posit. You reap what you do not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you. Yes, that day is coming for all of us. Out of our own mouth we will be judged. You knew that I was austere, collecting what I did not deposit, reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, master, he already has 10 minas. I say to you, to everyone who has, more will be given. And from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Some pretty serious words right there.
Mm-hmm.
But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me.
Wow.
There it is. Now, I'm going to pause for a minute because I want to say something about that verse again. 22. He said to him, out of your own mouth I'll judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, reaping what I did not sow. Well, this parable is talking about Jesus. So talking about Jesus. Jesus doesn't reap where he doesn't sow. God's the one that set up seed time and harvest. So what are you telling us? This man was judged by what he believed in his heart, even though it was wrong. If he believed that in his heart, that he was mean and hard and going to collect what he didn't sow, then that thought should make you say, I'm going to produce something even if it's just interest. And had he just produced interest, Jesus would have said, well done. Even though his mind was messed up and he didn't understand it. Interesting thought, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The triumphal entry. When he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethpage in Bethany, the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it. And bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you loosing my colt? Say to him, because the Lord has need of it. Verse 32. So those who were sent their way and found it just as he said to them, as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And they must have said, well, all right then. Then they brought him to Jesus. And they threw their clothes on the colt, and they sat Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. As he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice, saying, for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silence, those rocks laying next to you will immediately start a dancing fit. And you're going to get rocked. That's my translation. Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. As he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, and especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. They will not leave in you one stone upon another. Look at this word. Because you did not know the time of your visitation. Guys, there ain't much time of visitation left. Holy Spirit is poured out upon this whole earth. You cannot play any games right now. Oh, I'll find God someday. No, find him today. Because this is the day of our visitation. And Jesus won't tell you down the road 20 years, you missed the day of your visitation. You will just miss the rapture. You don't want that. totally missing the day of your visitation. 1945. He went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, "It is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves." And he was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Now, this is the point where we always say, circle the wagons. Now, when you see everything that Jesus just did, he dealt with money. Then he dealt with a rich man that came to Jesus. Jesus didn't tell Zacchaeus to give it all up. He did tell the rich young ruler, but he didn't tell Zacchaeus that. A lot of Christians that believe they got to give it all up in order to be able to walk with God. No, you don't. Then Jesus heals the blind man, and he tells the parable of the minas and the triumphal entry. Well, this is all in the matter of a couple days. This is a day in the life of Jesus. This is how exciting our lives should be. This is how exciting our lives should be. And what's the answer for me then, Pastor? Matthew chapter 13, Jesus said, you got to understand this parable. Because if you don't understand this one, you won't understand any of them. What parable was it then? It was the parable of the sower. You got to sow the word into your heart so they can produce harvest, hundredfold harvest. And that word will grow and develop. As soon as you start getting faith, the enemy's going to be shooting fiery darts at you. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new. Those thoughts are not coming from in you. They're fiery darts coming at you. Don't claim them, because then you start acting like them. Name them fiery darts, crush them underneath your heel where they belong, and keep moving in Jesus' mighty name. Now, we always give everybody the opportunity to pray the prayer of salvation, and we're going to do that again today. And I encourage you, you just stick with us here. You know, it's like tonight, 22 minutes again. Now we're back down to 22 minutes. That's pretty cool. But it's all right. It's the Word of God, and we love it. We truly love it. Pray this prayer with me, and we'll get into up here tonight. Jesus, help me. Holy Spirit is all over everything we're doing right now. Just receive it. You ready? Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
Make your declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again for me on the third day.
And you rose again for me on the third day.
You ready? You got eternal life, just like that. You just said it. You meant it. It's in you. Let's pray some more prayers. Fill me with your love and your mercy.
Fill me with your love and your mercy.
Fill me with your grace and your righteousness.
Fill me with your grace and your righteousness.
I receive all the fullness of God.
I receive all the fullness of God.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So that I live in power.
So that I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and
language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. See, just like that, bam, you're filled with literally all the fullness of God. You become the temple of the Holy Ghost. You just went from darkness to light. You just went from fear to faith. Somebody's getting it right now, I can tell. You just went from your sin to Jesus' righteousness. Ready? You just went from a mere earthling bebopping around the earth to now a child of God and an heir of Jesus. Woo! Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And you might even say, Pastor, how in the world am I going to figure all this out? You won't figure it out. Get your Bible and begin reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. And just read it. Don't speed read it. Read it so you can recognize what's being said. Slow down and let the story be real. Let the story be real. And all of a sudden it begins to make sense. When you get done, start again. And God brought you here to us, so stay connected to us. Click like, subscribe, hit the bell. And you're going to find an amazing amount of discipleship in a matter of a couple months, 6 months, and maybe 2 months, you're going to have learned so much word of God that all of a sudden you're going to be like, I get it. I get it. You do get it. Why? Because God's in here leading you from the inside out, not from the top side down trying to get through your thick skull. He doesn't have to get through your thick skull. He's in here leading you from the inside out. You invited him in.
Amen.
Only thing you got to do with that thick skull is train that mind to think like this word.
Mm-hmm.
The carnal mind, the human fleshly carnal mind, is an enemy against God. You don't want that thing in control. You're the spirit. You control the flesh, the body, and the soul, the mind, will, and emotion. Now, how do I do it? Walk with God every day. Write it down. Walk with God every day. How would you do that, Pastor? Just like you walked with your mom and your dad when you grew up. You wake up in the morning. Hi, Dad. What are we doing? Hi, I'm going to school. I'm home. Mom, you got supper? Walk with God the same way. Talk to him all day long because he'll fix your mower, your washer, your blender. He'll help you fold your sheets. Why? Because he's the creator of it all, and he wants to walk with you every day. He wants a relationship with you more than you even know. When you wake up in the morning, laying on your bed, just say, Father, help me walk with you today. He created you. Of course he's going to do that. When you lay down in your bed at night, make sure you say, Father, how I do today. And then listen to what he says, and he'll talk to you. Got a question? Well, now say it differently. In the description right down there is my email address and website. Send me an email. Ask me a question. Tell me your story. Give us a prayer request. The more questions that come in, the more we fine-tune our discipleship process and help people walk with God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Anything else? Yes, one more thing. Write these verses down. Job 33, 14 through 18. It says that God is speaking. God may say this or that. And man not perceive what he's saying. And then it says, in a vision, in a dream, in the night, while he's lying on his bed, and deep sleep falls upon him, and he slumbers. He, God, will come and insert instruction into your heart. How amazing is that?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to see it in technicolor vision. And it's going to keep you from the pit. It's going to keep you from pride. And it's going to keep you from being destroyed. And what's it going to do? It's going to save your life. And I speak it right now over every one of you in the sound of my voice, over everybody that's ever been here. May you have a dream tonight. And remember it. So when you wake up in the morning, turn that thing on real quick and start recording exactly what the dream was, because it's going to give you some serious guidance. God Almighty. Amen.
Amen.
See you in the morning, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for rebuilding the walls of righteousness. Remember, we're down to 7 days, 6 days left now until the election. Pray, 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 and declare the word of God, because it's going to be a red. The blood of Jesus is going to wash this nation red.
Amen.
Righteousness is going to be exalted, and the wicked are going to be revealed, and his name will be lifted on high. In Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is
Lord.
See you soon. Brother Roger, Sister Elaine Tafili. What's that lady's name? Nicole Olson. So glad to have you. Paul and all the rest of y'all that's out there we don't see tonight, we call you blessed in Jesus' name. Sister Sunday, Dan and Gwen, all y'all folks that come with us, we love you. See you soon. Blog Talk Radio, all our friends around the world, we love you. Any way we can be a blessing, if it's within our power, we will help you with it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.